this song is for you guys. Thank you, choir. Confirmands. The confirmands are going to read for us the scripture reading today from Ruth 2.
Now Naomi had a respected relative, a man of worth, through her husband from the family of Elimelech. His name was Boaz. Ruth the Moabite said to Naomi,
"Let me go to the field so that I may glean among the ears of grain, behind someone in whose eyes I might find favor."
Naomi replied to her,
"Ouch.
Oh, my daughter." So she went. She arrived and she gleaned in the field behind the harvesters. By chance, it happened to be the portion of the field that belonged to Boaz, who was from the family of Elimelech. Just then, Boaz arrived from Bethlehem. He said to the harvesters,
"May the Lord be with you."
And they said to him,
"May the Lord bless you."
Boaz said to his young man, the one who was overseeing the harvesters,
"To whom does this young one belong?"
The young man who was overseeing the harvesters answered,
"She's a young Moabite woman, the one who returned with Naomi from the territory of Moab. She said, 'Please let me glean so that I might gather up grain from among the bundles behind the harvest. She arrived and has been on her feet from the morning until now and has sat down for only a moment.
Boaz said to Ruth,
"Haven't you understood, my daughter? Don't go glean in another field. Don't go anywhere else. Instead, stay here with my young woman. Keep your eyes on the field that they are harvesting and go along after them. I've ordered the young men not to assault you. Whenever you are thirsty, go to the jugs and drink from what the young men have filled."
Then she bowed down, face to the ground, and replied to him,
"How is it that I've found favor in your eyes that you notice me? I'm an immigrant."
Boaz responded to her,
"Everything that you did for your mother-in-law after your husband's death has been reported fully to me. How you left behind your father, your mother, and the land of your birth, and came to a people you hadn't known beforehand. May the Lord reward you for your deed. May you receive a rich reward from the Lord and God of Israel, under whose wings you've come to seek refuge."
She said,
"May I continue to find favor in your eyes, sir, because you've comforted me and because you've spoken kindly to your female servant, even though I'm not one of your female servants."
At mealtime, Boaz said to her,
"Come over here to eat some of the bread and dip your piece in the vinegar."
She sat alongside the harvesters, and he served roasted grain to her. She ate, was satisfied, and had leftovers. Then she got up to glean. Boaz ordered his young men,
"Let her glean between the bundles and don't humiliate her. Also pull out some from my bales from her and leave them behind for her to glean, and don't scold her."
So she gleaned in the field until evening. Then she threshed what she had gleaned. It was about an ephah of barley. She picked it up and went into town. Her mother-in-law saw what she had gleaned. She brought out what she had left over after eating her fill and gave it to her. Her mother-in-law said to her,
"Where did you glean today? Where did you work? May the one who noticed you be blessed."
She told her mother-in-law with whom she had worked and said,
"The name of the man with whom I work today is Boaz."
Naomi replied to her daughter-in-law,
"May he be blessed by the Lord, who hasn't abandoned his faithfulness with the living or with the dead."
Naomi said to her,
"The man is one of our close relatives. He's one of our redeemers."
Ruth the Moabite replied,
"Furthermore, he said to me, 'Stay with my workers until they finish all of my harvest.'"
Naomi said to Ruth, her daughter-in-law,
"It's good, my daughter, that you go out with his young woman so that men don't assault you in another field."
Thus she stayed with Boaz's young woman, gleaning until the completion of the barley and wheat harvest, and she lived with her mother-in-law.
That's the end of our reading today. May God add its blessing. And folks, thank you. You did super, all of you. I am proud of you, really proud of you. Great job. Congregation, do you agree? Yeah. Will you pray with me? Pray that the words that I speak are faithful to the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. And may that which you hear be that which the Spirit intends for your ears this day. Let us pray. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and our Lord Jesus Christ. Should be a slide. Thank you. Last week we learned that Naomi was ready to return to the land of her birth after her husband and both of her sons had died in the foreign land of Moab. The two sons had married Moab women. It's important to remember that Moabs and the Israelites had long been enemies of one another. Now, to put it in this week's context, the people of Turkey, okay, to put it in this week's context, the Moabs and the people of Judah were much like the Kurds of Syria and the people of Turkey. Yet because the family of Naomi was hungry, they had moved among the Moabites. At times, the people of Turkey and the Kurds have found ways to live side by side. But as we heard from the leadership not only of both parties in our country, but also the leaders of the world, in this day, the Kurds need protection. For most of the biblical story of the Israelites and the Moabites, it was best that they stayed separate from one another. Yet here we have a family in Naomi and Elimelech who have intermarried. As I said, Naomi was now the only one still living among her family in Moab. She knew she had to return to Bethlehem. She also believed it was best for her and for her Moabite daughter-in-laws that Orpah and Ruth remain in Moab. Orpah, with tears and weeping, returned to her own people. But Ruth refused, saying, "Don't urge me to abandon you, to turn back from following you. Wherever you go, I will go, and wherever you stay, I will stay. Your people will be my people, and your God will be my God. Wherever you die, I will die, and there I will be buried. May the Lord do this to me, and more so, even if death separates me from you." And so together, the women journeyed to Jerusalem. Do you hear the risk that both took as they entered Bethlehem? We cannot be sure how Naomi felt about Ruth coming with her, but we do know that Ruth was overwhelmingly kind and generous to her mother-in-law. She was taking unbelievable risks. Ruth did not stay in the background. She did not hide in the home of Naomi, though as a foreigner that might have been a smart move. Instead, she went out into the fields where all knew she was a foreigner, a Moabite. And there she followed the servants who were collecting the harvest of wheat and barley. I'm a farm girl. I remember, even with the farm machinery of today, there is some grain that is spilled or cannot be harvested. Ruth was looking for that little bit of grain. She was watching to see if she could find it and gather it up for herself and her mother-in-law. At the same time, she was being watched by the young men. Young men who knew that if they assaulted her, there would be little repercussions. After all, she was a foreigner, and nobody really cared. When I met with the confirmands on Wednesday, I asked if some of them might read a portion of our scripture today in worship. I did not expect their response. I thought maybe a few of them, two or three, would be willing to take the risk. Last week, two of them did, you remember. As we talked on Wednesday, a few were quickly willing to take parts, but others were a little more reluctant. The two who had read last week encouraged the others. I encouraged one. I knew who could do it. And that one's classmates added a little bit more pressure. But that one said no. Okay. Then another one I did not expect offered and encouraged another one of the classmates to share a part. So two of them would take one part. Practicing in the classroom, I read the part of the narrator. A long part, as you heard. With unfamiliar names and words, having finished the reading, One of the kids offered now to be the narrator. And the sixth one was willing to take the risk and read before the congregation this morning. We went into the sanctuary to practice. And my friends, it was goosebump time for their pastor. And to see how this class worked together. Now, the seventh classmate had a ticket to the Packer game. I knew better than to ask him to stay and read. But his classmates remembered when he sang solos in church several years ago. And they said to each other, "Remember when Bryce sang solos? We can do this." UCC and friends, what risks are we willing to take? How can we help one another do ministry in the church and in the community? As with the confirmation class, it takes all of us to encourage one another and to work together, and they did work together on this. It's Jenga, if you don't know, and I could have now figured out how to use that other picture. They got asked questions that they had to answer, Bible questions, and they worked as a team. And then as a team, they tried to figure out which block could they take without toppling the tower. As they work together, we need opportunities to talk with one another. You know what I'm about to say. Our coffee hour, our conversations in committees and councils, our conversations as we work and play together are important to help us be the best and the most generous Christians we can be. The stewardship committee asked the trustees and the council, I don't have a picture of the council yet, to join them and me in making a faith promise this week. We who are the leaders responsible for the financial support of the ministry, for making the decisions about the finances of the church, have been asked to make a faith promise about how much and in what ways we will support the church, our church, with our finances, our treasure, our time, and our talent by the end of this week. So that we can encourage the rest of our congregation to make their faith promises, your faith promises. We're being asked to encourage one another. Just as I watched the confirmation class encourage each other, we are asked to be generous. This is the stewardship committee, by the way. We are being asked to be generous, not knowing what next year will be. That's the trustees. We don't know what next year is going to be like. Did you know that an average American gives 2% of their income, their resources, to a variety of charities? Can you imagine if we increased our giving by just a half of 1% or 1%, what a difference it would make in our world? Ruth didn't know what would happen to her when she came into Bethlehem. She didn't know what would happen to her in the fields as she gleaned, yet she took a risk, and because of her risk, she was able to provide not only for her needs, but also for the needs of her mother-in-law. Did you catch it in the reading? Naomi, who last week wasn't so sure about Ruth. She wanted Ruth to stay in Moab. Naomi wanted to keep some distance from Ruth. It was risky to bring a Moabite into Bethlehem. But did you catch it? Today in our reading, Naomi calls Ruth mother, or excuse me, Ruth daughter. Naomi calls Ruth daughter, not Moabite, not daughter-in-law, daughter. We too are called to be generous and to encourage one another. Yes, we need cash. However, I believe we're also called to venture into the world. I'm going to tell you a dream I have for us. I haven't talked too much about it. When there's a natural disaster nearby, or maybe even far away, that we as a church respond. Yes, with our money toward disaster relief, but also with our time and talents. So when a tornado goes through Pepin County, or the Trempealeau River overflows, or rains flood the Oklahoma fields, a few of us get together and say, let's go help. Let's go help them clean up, or fill some sandbags, or bring some sandwiches to the workers. Yeah, that, my friends, is one of my dreams. To take a risk, to go with Ruth to a land we don't know as well. Now, that's not to take away from the amazing work that this church does here in Neillsville, supporting families at Christmas and throughout the school year. Maybe you have a risky idea more doable than mine. But let's find some ways to risk with our treasure, our time, and our talent. Maybe like the kids, be a liturgist. Or take a risk and talk to someone we don't know so well and may even have differences with. How can we, through our generosity, come to calling those who are unknown to us within and beyond our church? How can we come to the place where we say, daughter, son, father, mother, family? Let's sing of our faith. For our God is one whose giving knows no ending.
Thank you.
You may be seated. As this congregation has heard so many times, yep, it's the words of the hymns that catch me. Thank you. Let us pray. Oh God, our God, we give you thanks. We give you thanks for one another, that those we call family here in this very room. We thank you for our young people who bravely took the risk to give their gift to us this day. Thank you. Thank you for letting them set an example for us of how working together we can do so much more than each one in our own particular silo. God, you have blessed us with one another. We thank you for our family. We ask, too, that you would open our eyes to the needs among us. Here in this very place, help us to see who has particular needs and how we can help one another to address them. And open our eyes to the needs that are in our community. God, open our eyes so that we might see those who are homeless, those who are hungry, whether their hunger is for companionship or food or shelter or work. Open our eyes to see. Oh God, we pray for our world. We pray for the people all over the world who are afraid of one another, often for good cause. Help us to bring peace into our world. Give us courage. Give us courage to reach out and to support those most in need in our world. God, help us to work for the peace that you only can bring about. Because yes, Lord, it is true. Some of us have been fighting and at each other's throats for years and generations. And God, you know. We ask that you hold safe those who are working for peace in the variety of places in the world, whether it be Afghanistan or in the cities of the U.S. Hold safe your people and help us to be wise and caring and compassionate and kind and followers of Jesus. We pray this in the name of our Lord and Savior, who taught us together to pray, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen.